105 Drive with Julian Clover. Cambridge
105. Surprisingly, well, everybody turned up for their exams.
They did.
Gosh.
Including the examiners. Which was particularly useful.
And how many people did you have taking grade one exams?
Here, 120, I think it's 121 or 123, and over there, 81.
Gosh.
So over 200.
And I need to remember that, of course, this was happening in Oxford and in Cambridge for the first time ever. So tell me, how did they do?
Well, I think they did extremely well. I think we did just as well.
We all passed, though.
We all passed.
In Oxford and in Cambridge.
We did indeed. Oh, nobody failed.
Gosh.
As always.
As always. Yes, the musicians are musicians, so we have a bit of a head start.
Yes,
with,
that's true.
Performance.
Yes, yes. Right. And lots of distinctions?
Oh, yes.
Well, you're talking to a pair of harpies here. So, Yes, all 17 blonde harpists got a distinction.
That's amazing. So
in
the morning...
Cambridge, we don't know about the Oxford
We don't know about
yet.
Oxford harpies yet. No. Oh, waiting to hear. So on the day then, in the morning, everybody took their exam, and then what happened in the afternoon?
Well, we had no time to recover because we were thrown straight into... orchestral rehearsal. Mm-hmm. I might add, well managed by your good self. When you had your, I'm telling you where you're going and what you're doing hat on, which I think you did exceptionally
well. Thank you
well.
So much. So in the afternoon, everybody tipped up at West Road with their instruments, looking somewhat shell-shocked from their morning of taking their exam, worrying about whether they'd passed. And there they were, straight into rehearsals. So what were they playing?
Well, we commissioned two works, one from Paul Harris, who produced a three-movement work for Lana. Well, first of all, we had the fanfare for Lana and a flourish at the end. And Paul has supported us from our very first one, 2004. And
at which point he wrote us a different flourish.
Yes.
But it had one thing in common with this flourish, which was that it ended with two loud chords, which we supplemented with antiphonal paper bags from the audience.
Indeed you did. Quite a surprise to us all, that was, I think.
It was the two... They were the two moments of ensemble in the most of the evening.
And then in the interval, well, before the interval, you had Prime Brass.
Yep.
Fantastic. Always a showstopper.
Oh, absolutely. The fantastic Prime Brass. Mm. I think it raised expectations, which, of course, we threw apart in the second half.
Deeply unfulfilled.
Deeply unfulfilled expectations.
But outside, I mean, in the foyer of West Road, of course, there were all sorts of shenanigans going on as well.
Yes, it was bonkers in the auditorium and outside.
Yes, I was quite taken, I have to say, with the magician.
Well, I think most people are. Dean Maudsley is his name, and
yes,
he was spellbinding, I believe.
Absolutely. So people were parted from their money with the magician, with the theremin, and so on. And then in the second half of the concert, Russell Keeble standing in front of you all. And what were you playing?
He did the first half, Russell.
Oh, yes,
sorry. Simon Brown, also ex-director of music at King's, and he was persuaded to write something. And he did a wonderful thing for both Oxford and Cambridge. So he did the Oxbridge Journey, which took us right the way across the country. Now, actually, Oxford was meant to do it in reverse, but I think they stuck with us. So we were actually punting along the same part of the route.
No, it was a great piece.
It was a great piece.
And then, of course, everybody sang.
Yes, now, that was extraordinary.
It was.
And have met subsequently people who participated, who obviously doing studies sang and have not sung for many a year, but the masked musician sound was extraordinarily good. You were a singer, but many people were there as singers and directors, and they were moved.
Mm. It was wonderful. But of course, the whole point of this extraordinary event is about raising money.
Yes.
So where are we at the moment? That's the thing.
Well, we're going to amass it between Oxford and Cambridge on this occasion. Here, we are 61,000.
Gosh.
415, I believe. But that does not include all the offline, which I think our final tally comes after the donations have closed on the 10th of October. We will, I think, without a shadow of a doubt, have surpassed £100,000.
Well, we haven't got the ticket receipts in
yet. Oh, right.
No, no, so, and we haven't paid the... We haven't, we would have raised £100,000, and we'll be splitting it here, the £61,000. So each one of those charities will get £20,000.
Gosh,
plus, which
gosh, is fab. It is extraordinary.
For one concert. There aren't many, I mean, that's the one thing I would say, that there aren't many concerts, charity concerts, that raise effectively £60,000. That's the visible part as far as the public's concerned.
Mm.
And that was his idea. I'm just going to say that.
And how many of these have we done now, then?
Well, this was the last, as you know. So we'll just say that now.
She said decidedly.
I said this. And
so how many goats have there been? Ooh, so
there have been four goats.
Four goats?
We have been...
2004.
Which was for East Anglia Children's Hospice. We raised 60-something. And then
we did a slightly different thing, which was head back to school.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Which is heads were actually then... Yes. They had to try being children. They didn't find it that difficult, actually. They had to attend their own schools. Yes.
Except finding hats to fit.
Yeah, and shorts.
Blazers.
And then the 2011, we had a goat. I think that was that Clueless in Concert? Yes, that was Clueless in Concert.
And that was for spinal injuries.
Yes, in the Corn Exchange.
And
yes,
we saw, of course, Guy playing prime brass in a wheelchair, for whom we so...
Yes, and there he was so again hard for this concert.
Fantastic. And then 2015, we had the Goat Reunion, and that was Clueless in Competition.
Ah, yes.
Where we had the...
Oh, that's right.
The different parts. And that's when the singing came to be.
Yes.
Because we weren't doing exams that day.
No, and I'd forgotten that. So the competition was between strings and...
Brastoff. Was it Brastoff? Long-winded.
And highly strung.
And highly strung. And, of course, Brastoff won. Thanks, Mr. Garner, I suspect. Cheating, but yeah.
So this extraordinary phenomenon that is the Grade One-a-thon in all its glory and all its guises, it's just such a movement for good because of, A, the amount of money, but the extraordinary thing is, as I was just saying to you, about the number of those instrumentalists who've decided to stick with their second or sometimes third or even possibly fourth instrument, not wanting to give up that double bass and hand back that harp.
No. Well, the harp, I have to admit that there is a bit of a hole in our house now.
Where a hole in our front room.
Where a harp was once.
Next to half.
Yeah, next to half. So lots of people have. And in fact, we play, as you know, in the Cambridge Wind Band, which is actually filled with people who have... cross-dressed, as it were, swung from
just
strings and brass from previous Grade One.
Yes, because the Grade One-a-thon has given that sort of impetus for picking up another instrument.
Yes, and sticking with it.
Yes. I mean, it's all of those spin-offs, which is just quite extraordinary. And I know when I was chasing a few people over the summer and seeing that the amount of work and effort that was going in, and groups meeting together and stuff on Facebook about, have you got the accompaniment for this, and can we meet up, and can you show me how to do this with my third finger? There was just loads of that.
Yes,
you know,
I think
people were really working hard.
I think there was a degree of enjoyment, and but the main...
More than a degree of enjoyment.
But the main thing is, it's confronting. That's what I think the joy is, and that's why so many teachers, good teachers, have signed up over and over again, because it's very easy to forget what that sort of missing X factor of confidence comes that arrives with playing an instrument for a length of time.
Yes.
And then when you, no matter how experienced you are, when you are confronted with going into an exam room on an instrument that, quite frankly, can vary wildly from day to day, then you are in the position of your lovely pupils who come in and say, I could do this yesterday. And they look at you and they think, oh, they're not believed, but they are believed now by a huge number of
absolutely. Teachers. As you say, it's a tremendous reminder for people who've been playing themselves since they're about four or five.
Absolutely.
And as Guy Johnson had said in the interview earlier in the summer, that it really made him stop and think. about, you know, how you explain these things and the things you just take for granted.
Well, yes. You think you're musical. Yeah. And then
you have to go right back and start
and
again.
Put it out through an instrument which you can't really play very well. And it's
with a reed.
And you discover you're no more musical than
the children
than anyone else who's struggling with their instrument, the ones you're teaching.
So it has that tremendous education quality for training for teachers to make them stop and think and remember. And actually, when they've all turned up in September with their new pupils, they will understand that quaking child trying to tune its violin.
I think that's true. I think it's done a huge amount for Cambridge teachers.
I think so.
Who can we then go in a little more patient.
Well, thank you both very much for a very good time. Thank you. I have to say I enjoyed the day tremendously. Had a little pause there. There's nothing nicer than trying to get 123 people on this road stage. And 17 of them are in blonde wigs, business.
Including my good husband here.
But yes, and very fetching you looked as well. But for an extraordinary causes and raising an extraordinary amount of money.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Cambridge Grade 1 Fun Orchestra and their conductor, Russell Keeble.